All right, good morning. Today's daf is Samach Dalid in Chulin. Okay, we're on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and we're trying to figure out the following. We know the magic number is 24. Halacha L'Moshe Misina, it's part of the oral tradition, that the magic number is 24, and 24, that is non-kosher birds. The Torah, however, doesn't really give us a number 24. In fact, there are two times in the Torah where the Torah goes over the non-kosher birds, once in Parsha Shmini, and the other time in Parshas Rei, and neither times does the Torah actually give us the number 24. On one occasion it says 20 different birds, on another occasion 21 different birds. Couple that with another problem, and that is that the two lists that are mentioned both in Shmini and in Rei don't line up with one another. Okay, that presents for us a problem, a dilemma. So how do we resolve that dilemma? So there are basically going to be two approaches in the Gemara, Abai and Rabbi Abahu, in terms of how to deal with that dilemma. So the Abai approach is that 20 are actually mentioned in the Torah. The Da'ah and the Ra'ah, according to Abaye, are really one in the same. It's the same bird. Just one. They're called both. They're called the Da'ah and the Ra'ah. And so that now makes our list a... That puts us at the number 21, okay? And the other ones are going to be added by the words lemina, lemino, leminehu. Okay, that is... And we took away another one as well. All right, and the ayah and the daya, thank you. Correct. And the ayah and the daya are the same as well. Okay, that brings us down to 20. And then we have four mentions of the words lemina, leminehu, lemino. And good. That takes us to 24. That was the Abaye approach. The Rabbi Abahu approach is going to be similar, not exactly the same. Upligi de Rabbi Abahu. We'll start here in the Gemara. Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara says this argues with Rabbi Abahu. Damar Rabbi Abahu Ra uze Aya. Ra and Aya are the same. Now Ra and Aya are both mentioned in Re'e. They're both mentioned in Re'e. So he says that they're the same. It's called Ra'ah because it can see, meaning it's not its proper noun, the proper name. The proper name is Aya, but it's called Ra'ah because it's of its uncanny ability to see. V'chein hu omer, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, nisiv lo yadu ayit velo shizvaso ayin Aya. The eye of the Aya was unable to see it, meaning it was so imperceivable. But, in other words, we're citing even this particular bird who has the most unbelievable vision, i.e. the ayah, cannot see it. So what do you see from here clearly is that the ayah has this unbelievable vision. Tana. We have learned in Hebrew, so it's above Nevela Be'eretz Yisrael. How far can it see? It could stand above and see the carrion in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Perhaps a guzma. Point is, it could really see far. So the Gemara says, well, now that sounds like, according to Rabbi Abahu, that the Da'ah and the Ra'ah are not the same. Meaning, because what he did is he coupled the Ra'ah with the Ayah, so it sounds like he's not coupling the Ra'ah with the Da'ah, which is what Abaye did. That was Abaye's move. So Michti, the Gemara says, but that's, I can't imagine. Mishnah Torah lo sufu hu da asa. Because the whole purpose of Mishnah Torah is to add to something that we've said earlier. Maishna ha chadichsiv da'a, maishna hasam deloksiv da'a. You know, back in Shmini we mentioned the da'a. Here in Re'e we didn't mention it. El lav shmimina da'a v'rava ayah achasi. So you know what? According to Rabbi Abahu, it's all the same. Meaning da'a and ra are the same. Da'a is what's mentioned back in Shmini. Ra'a is what's mentioned here in Parshas Re'e. Those two are the same. And the Ra'a and the Ayah are going to be the same as well. One more bird we're going to couple according to Rabbi Abahu. Umidera'a hainu ayah mechal didaya lav hainu ayah. Now it sounds like Daya and Ayah are not the same. So umayshna hasim dechsiv leminehu a'ayah. Umayshna hachad loksiv leminehu a'ayah. El adaya. So according to Rabbi Abahu, all four names really represent the same bird. Okay, fine. So that is going to be our move according to Rabbi Abahu. So now we have four birds that are mentioned that are really the same. But it really comes out good now because there are 24 birds in total. Of the list in Mishnah Torah, of that list, according to Rabbi Abahu, Ra'a and Aya are really one in, sorry, yeah, yeah. Ra'a and Aya are really one in the same bird. That takes us down to the number 20, and then add four more, and then we're good. We're good to go. Okay. So far, so good. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Isi ben Yehuda Omer me'alfos tamen yesh b'mizrach. There are 100 non-kosher birds out in the east. So, right, you go out to the east, the far east. I don't know, back in the time of the Gemara, what was considered the far east, right? China, Japan, who knows? Hawaii. So if you go out to the east, you'll find 100 different species of non-kosher birds, but kula min aya, but they're all a form of aya. Okay, so, right, meaning, remember, it's what Rashi did a couple days ago. Meaning, if you find a bird that has no kosher simanim, it's a nesher. Meaning, it might look slightly different, but in terms of categorization, it's a nesher. Here also, 100 different types of non-kosher birds out there, but it can't be 100. Right? Remember, the number, the magic number is 24. They're all of subspecies of aya. There are 700 species of fish, and there are 800 species of locusts. Ula ofos ein mispar. The number of birds, no number. Okay. I'll say infinite, but obviously it's not infinite. There is a finite amount. But in other words, it's so immense, it's so large, it's almost like you can't count it. So the Gemara immediately jumps. Ofos chavdalet havu. What are you talking about? How can you say there's no number? There's 24. 24 is the number. Ella ula ofos tahorim ein mispar. Ah. So the Gemara says, quickly, correction, right? It means, in terms of kosher birds, ein mispar. There is no number. Tanya Rabbi Omer, I mentioned this Gemara a number of days ago when we introduced the discussion of birds. The Gemara is right here. Tanya Rabbi Omer, galuv yadul fnei misha amar v'haya olam, shebehema temea meruba mina tahoros. In the world of animals, more non-kosher animals than kosher animals. Okay? So, if we were to take the total population of animals here meaning large animals, right, four-legged creatures, if we were to take the total population, so in terms of a percentage of them, the vast majority of them are not kosher. Lefichach, and that's why manah hakasa b'tahara. That's why the Torah tells us, here are the animals that you can eat, meaning the Torah is going to give us the shorter number. Okay, now what about birds? Exactly the opposite. The Gemara continues, that there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds, lefichach manah kasa b'tameim. That's why the Torah goes over non-kosher birds, because that's a shorter number. My kamash malan, and the Gemara here provides for us a famous quote that comes up time and again in the Gemara, k'drav huna m'rav v'amri la'am rav huna amar rav mishum rabbi meir, la'ola mishana adam latamido derech kitzara. When you teach, you have to be efficient. You have to be succinct. You cannot be long, and you cannot give the longer format. You want to be as clear and as concise as possible. And if information can be provided in a shorter format, do it. So that's why when the Torah gives kosher animals, give me the shorter list, which happens to be the kosher animals. In the world of birds, give me the shorter list, which is not kosher birds, and that's exactly what the Torah does. Am Rabbi Yitzchak oftahar nechal b'misaras. A kosher bird can be eaten, b'misaras can be eaten with tradition. We talked about this yesterday, I quoted the Rashi yesterday. That's our practice nowadays, b'zman hazeh. We only eat with a misara, with a tradition. Okay. Neman hatzayid lomar ov zeh tahor. Now you can have the hatzayid, the hunter, say, this particular bird points to a bird that you've never seen before, but a hunter could say to you, this one's kosher. Maser li Rebbe. My Rebbe told me this. Okay. Am Rav Yochanan v'husha baki behenu v'shmaseh. Now Rav Yochanan says that he has to be a baki. He has to be really an expert, both in the bird and in the names of birds. Okay. He needs book smarts and street smarts, if you will, in order to properly identify whether this bird is kosher or not. By Rav Zera, Rabbi Chacham or Rabbi Tzai. Now, he's quoting his Rebbe, right? Now, when we say Rebbe, normally what we mean is, right, the person who teaches you Torah. That's usually what Rebbe means. In this particular context, Reb Zera says, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's what Rebbe means. Could be that Rebbe over here doesn't mean that person who teaches you Torah. Rebbe over here could mean, right, the expert on birds. Okay, the expert in that area. Where do we have it? We have this in Kedushin. Right? We have this in Kedushin. I'm sorry. 10th parak of Pesachim. Right? We have this exact scenario come up. Right? Do I lean in front of my Rebbe? And the Gemara over there quoted a Braisa. And the Gemara over there says Rebbe over in that particular context mean what's that called when you work for somebody and you're learning by him? Apprentice. Right. There the Gemara over there says that Rebbe over there means apprentice master relationship. So over here, the Gemara is saying when we say I'm quoting my Rebbe about kosher birds, so what does that mean? So interestingly enough, the Gemara says very clearly it doesn't mean Rebbe in Torah. Tashma. He's got to be an expert both in the name of the birds and in the birds themselves. Now, now, if he's really a hunter, meaning he's out in the field and he's hunting, so good. In other words, I can understand that. But if he's just a... I don't mean this the way it's going to come out. But if he's just a Talmud Chacham, so Bishlam Shamayu Gamir Lahu. Look, he's book smart, meaning he knows names. Right, he knows his Chumash, he knows his Mishnayos, right? He knows how to say it. But Ella, Inu Miyadalahu, but does he know the actual birds themselves? Right? Yesterday for me was a great example of that. We went over different types of birds. I had no idea what I was saying. Meaning I knew the names, but I don't know the actual birds. So the Gemara says over here, when you're quoting a Rebbe in terms of what does it mean, a kosher bird, and Rav Yochanan says you have to know the names of the birds and you have to know the birds themselves. So we're talking about a side. We're talking about a hunter. So the Gemara says that's correct, meaning here in this context it means Rebbe Tzayed. He's your Rebbe in terms of knowing the world of birds. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, for a good part of the balance of today, we move on to the egg talk. A lot of good egg talk for today. Tan Rabbanan, we start with a Braisa. So Tosefta, Lochim Beitzim and Ovdi Kocham B'chom Makom Ein Choshesh and Lo Mishum Neveles V'Lo Mishum Trevos. Okay, you can buy eggs wherever you want. Says the Tosefta. Tosefta says it just doesn't matter, and you can buy it from a non-Jew. And the Tosefta really gives no limitations whatsoever in terms of the purchasing of eggs. Now we already, yeah. In other words. It has to be, okay, it has to be the eggs of kosher animals, but I'm just reading the Tosefta right now. The Tosefta says, Lochim beitim and ovdi kochavim b'chom makom, you can buy any place, v'ein choshesh and lo mishum neveles v'lo mishum trefes. And you don't have to worry. Meaning, Hedy, if it comes from a non-kosher bird, the egg is not kosher. That's clear. But, and if the bird came from a trefa, if the egg came from a trefa, the egg also is not going to be kosher. But the Tosefta says, don't worry. Meaning, that doesn't have to be a concern of yours. Now, to a certain degree, we all know the accuracy of this Tosefta because when we buy products in the store, so we look for OU on anything which is manufactured, right? But eggs, right? I don't see anyone checking for OU on the egg cartons. Oh, yeah, it does? Okay. So,
there's a couple brands
that have it, but they don't have Hashgach. So we, to a certain degree, already know that this is true, but let's learn through the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to ask some pretty straightforward questions, which you and I could ask as well. V'doma d'of tame. So let's start off with the first question, which is so basic. How do you know? Meaning you're just dealing with an egg. All you have in front of you is an egg. So how do you know the egg was produced from a kosher bird? Okay, let's start off with such a simple question. So the Gemara's first response is, well, he told you, seller, who's not Jewish, so he told you, oh, don't worry, it comes from a kosher bird. Okay, good. Okay. Right, everyone understand that that answer the Gemara provided is a little bit strange, right? You don't, usually, we don't have reliance on the on the non-Jew to tell us about Issa V'Heter, right, about ritual law.
He's not
going to
risk lying.
So Rashi over here writes well, let's first read a little bit more of the Gemara and then I'll read Rashi. V'lema sha'ov tahor. So So, I'm sorry, but almost off plani tahor. So the Gemara says, first of all, what the guy's telling you is not only that the egg is kosher, he actually is telling you which bird produced it, which type of bird produced it. So the Gemara says, why does he have to tell you which bird produced it? Why does he just simply say, oh, don't worry, it comes from a kosher bird? So this helps us understand this entire discussion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, because if he doesn't tell you exactly what kind of bird laid this egg, so then he can get away with lying. Meaning, we're going to put him in a position where, look, he can always lie, but it's going to be very difficult for him to do so. Look at the last two Rashis of the page. Sha'of plani tahor, Rashi writes, Va'ani yodim sha'oso of tahor. Who? V'davar sha'anu yicholon lahavchin ol lahavi beitzei oso of lirosim domim la'elu lo mishaker. We have a general rule, says Rashi, that if a guy says something which can be fact-checked, after he says it, we can ascertain the veracity of a statement, at that point in time, he has credibility. If his statement can be fact-checked after the fact. Okay. So Rashi writes, that's what's going on over here. Not only is a guy providing you an egg, he says it comes from a kosher bird. That's not enough. He has to tell you which particular type of bird it comes from. Now you take that bird, I'm sorry, that egg which he gave you, and if you wanted to, you can go ahead and say, oh, really? Let me see if this looks like other types of eggs which you claim it comes from. And you can go and you can make an assessment yourself whether or not it matches or doesn't match. That ability that you have will check him and will lend credibility to his statement.
We just accept the Jew's statement, though, even though he could be lying.
Well, right, but this is going one step further. This is not a Jew, this is
right,
a non-Jew.
No.
Right. The livdog besimanim, so the Gemara says, okay. So what allows us now to eat the egg is our ne'emanus, our reliance on his statement. Why do we need that? The Gemara asks now, aren't eggs, don't kosher eggs have a particular shape? And the Gemara says, it seems that way at the time because we learned in the following braisa. Ki simane beitzim kach simane dogim. So the first way the braisa makes the statement, it doesn't make any sense. The sign of a kosher egg is the sign of a kosher fish. Okay, you realize right away, that's not what the braisa meant. So, dagim sakadach, it's not pirvikas kesas amarechmana. Obviously, that's not true. Fish have fins, scales. Eggs do not have fins, scales. That's not what the braisa meant. Ela, im lecha, kol simane, ure dagim. Right. The signs of kosher bird egg is the same as the sign of kosher fish egg. Okay, fish egg, which is not that popular. Caviar. Okay, roe. So not that popular, but it's the same simon, it's the same sign. Vitanya, we learned in a brisa. Elu, Vitanya got beitzim. Elu ain't simon beitzim. This is a sign of a kosher egg. Called shikoderes v'algul goles. If it is rounded and... right, spherical. Rosha echad kad, verosho echad chad. One end is broad and the other end is narrow. Right, Gemara is doing a fantastic job describing what to us looks like
a chicken egg.
That tahora. If that's what you see, if that's a sign that you see, so then it's going to be tahor. It's going to be, it'll be good. Right, even I know, you look at the Rashi on the top of the page, koderes. Ava kakadur, it looks like a ball, pelota, Rashi writes. It's a ball. Okay, that also happens to be Spanish. The beiz roshen kadin, or beiz roshen chadin, temein. If, however, it is a symmetrical shape where both top and bottom are rounded, or both top and bottom are narrow, so it is a symmetrical shape, that's not good, that's not what we want. Chelbon mi bechutz vechelmon mi befnim tahora. If the white is on the outside, I know there's a fancier word for it, and the yellow's on the inside.
Albumin.
So, what's it called?
Albumin.
Which is good, by the way. That almost matches the word in the Gemara. Right? Chalbon mi b'chutz v'chalbon mi b'fnim tahora. So that's what you want. However, chalbon mi b'chutz v'chalbon mi b'fnim, but if you have it the opposite, where the yolk is on the outside and the white's on the inside, tamei, and that's going to be tamei. Chalmon vechalba muravin zebizeh, if they're mixed one with another. But yadushi beitzas asheretz. You know that this egg was produced by sheretz, by a right by some sort of insect, rodent, crawly item. No? Turtle eggs. Okay, now, we are in the middle of a question, right? We just quoted this brisa. The brisa gave us the simanim, the identification markers of a kosher egg. The Gemara's question now stands. And the question is like this. We are now talking about the purchasing of an egg from a non-Jew. The Gemara earlier said that how do you do it? By just listening to the seller. If seller says to you, oh, don't worry, and even if seller is not Jewish, if seller says to you, oh, don't worry, this egg is produced from a kosher bird, so you believe him, and you can buy it. Provided, however, just make this point clear again, he tells you which particular bird produced this egg. Okay, good. That is the brisa. The Gemara now wants to know, why does it have to say anything to you? Why is that? Why not just look at the markers? The brisa that we just quoted gave us very clear markers in terms of what is a kosher egg and what isn't, based on the shape of the egg and based on the white and the yolk of the egg. So why not now just look at the marker of the egg? The egg should speak for itself. Gemara answers, Lasricha dechatuchos. So the Gemara's answer is, egg is cut up. Meaning we no longer have the egg itself, we just have the inside, the white and the yolk. But livdok bechalma vechalba, so the Gemara says, okay, if all we have is white and the yolk, but still, that in of itself should be enough of a siman. White's on the outside, yolk's on the inside. Betrufos, so the Gemara says, are scrambled. Scrambled eggs. I'm sorry, betrufos bekara. V'chi aigavna mizav ninan minayhu. So the Gemara says, you can't buy scrambled eggs from a non-Jew. Now we're not talking about cooked. And I will talk about cooked in just a moment as we go through Tosfos. But we're not talking about cooked. We're just simply talking about egg was cracked, so I don't have the egg anymore. I don't have the shell anymore. The shape of the shell and the white and the yellow are mixed together in a bowl, so I don't have that simon anymore. So the Gemara says, okay, but did you know that you're not allowed to buy that from a non-Jew? V'hatanya, we learned on a brisa. This is another Tosefta. Ein mochrim beitzas treifa la'ovei kochavim. You can't even sell it to a non-Jew. Why not? Ela im kein trufa bika'ara. Unless, let me make this point clear. This brisa is not going to be talking about the purchasing of eggs from a non-Jew. This brisa is talking about the other direction. Selling eggs to a non-Jew. Right? Even now, okay. Let's imagine for a moment that you have a non-kosher egg. However you acquired it. Okay? I'm simplifying. I could make the conversation more complicated, but let's leave it simple. You have in your possession a non-kosher egg. So you're not going to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. It's not kosher. So what are you going to do? You can sell it to a non-Jew. He can eat it, right? Are you allowed to sell non-kosher items to a non-Jew? Yes. Are you allowed to make a business out of it? The simple answer is no. The simple answer. But you can sell it to him. So the Braisa here says you cannot sell a non-Jew scrambled non-kosher egg. Why not? So the brisa goes on to say, "Ein mochrim beitzas treifa la'ovei kochavim ela in kein trufa bika'ara." It has to be scrambled and on a plate. Lefichach. Now this next part of the brisa explains the first part of the brisa. "Ein lochem mehem beitzin trufos bika'ara." You can't buy from a non-Jew scrambled eggs that are in a plate, right? And these two points of the brisa, point A and point B, really go hand in hand. Meaning, we started off this discussion by saying that you're allowed to buy eggs from a non-Jew. And if he tells you they're kosher, so then you look at him and you say, fine, they're kosher, right? And the reason why you believe him is because you could take the egg and you can match it with another egg of such bird, of such type bird. However, once the egg is in a plate and scrambled, meaning egg is cracked, so you don't have the shell anymore, and it's in a plate and it's scrambled, so now you can't buy it from him. The reason why is because you no longer have any simanim, there are no longer any signs, whatever he says cannot be fact-checked. And the Tosefta says very clearly that you can't sell him the scrambled eggs in a plate, especially if those scrambled eggs are not kosher, because you can't buy it from him. What's going to happen, is the Gemara is concerned with, is that you're going to sell him the non-kosher egg. He's going to turn around to another Jew and say, look, I don't know if you know this or not. You see these eggs that I have in the bowl? I just bought it from Reuven. And Reuven sold it to me. Obviously, it's kosher. Reuven sold it to me. So I'm going to turn around and sell it to you. So as a precaution, the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to buy scrambled eggs from a non-Jew. Okay. So now, we're kind of stuck. Because we know that there's a rabbinic prohibition. You're not allowed to buy scrambled eggs from a non-Jew. Okay. The Braisa says, when the non-Jew comes along and sells you an egg, he has to identify the egg. So the Gemara says, I don't understand why. Why does he have to identify the egg? You can look at it yourself. We know there are telltale signs of an egg that identifies it to be a kosher egg. So why does he have to say anything to you? And don't tell me that we're talking about a case where he cracked open the egg and he scrambled it in a bowl. Because we know, as a rabbinic precaution, you're not allowed to buy those eggs from a non-Jew. So where are we right now? What's the case where the non-Jew is going to show you an egg and say to you, oh, don't worry, it's a kosher egg, and he identifies. Why do I ever need him to identify it? You can look at it yourself. You can identify it yourself. Answers the Gemara, Ela Amar Rabbi Zera, Simanim Lav De Araisa. So Rabbi Zera says, Simanim, the signs do not work on a biblical level. Simanim Lav De Araisa, De'ilo Tema Hachi. The Gemara says, you have to say this. Because remember, yesterday's daf, 2 days ago, we talked about 8 types of birds, which we don't know. We don't know if they're kosher birds or not kosher birds. Remember we had the discussion, the gizzards don't peel well, they only peel with a knife. Good. 8 types of birds that you're not allowed to eat. Livdog bebeitzim didhu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Look at the eggs. If the eggs tell all, if you look at an egg and look at the shape of an egg, and that will tell you whether or not the egg is kosher or not kosher, meaning what it's derived from, if the egg is kosher, obviously the mother that laid it is obviously going to be kosher. If the egg is not kosher, so obviously the mother that laid it is not kosher. Why would there ever be a suffix about a particular bird? So clearly, you see from here that the shape of the egg, the form of the egg, does not work on a biblical level. Now we understand everything. Now we go back to the beginning of the whole discussion. So now when the guy comes over to you, presents to you the egg and says to you, here's an egg, by looking at the egg by itself is not enough because simanim is lav d'oraisa. Simanim do not work on a biblical level. Now I need him to articulate and say, this particular egg comes from this particular chicken, and now I can match up. Okay, now, a lot to discuss over here. I will try to do so quickly, but clearly. I'll try to be clear. Okay, the Gemara just made a very generic statement, which is simanim lav d'oraisa. Right? You understand that this statement of the Gemara over here really touches on fundamental issues about simanim. Meaning, this is a Baba Metzia discussion. I lose an object. Okay, so nothing on this table over here is a good example. Okay, here we go. I lose this tissue box. Imagine for just a moment this tissue box belongs to me. Okay? And I lost it. So now, somebody picks up, finds it, and I'm going to go over to him, I'm going to claim it. Okay. The Gemara Bava Metzia has the following discussion. Well, what can I do in order to identify that this particular box belongs to me? Meaning, of course, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, but the finder just simply wants to know, do you really own this? And the Gemara over there has a discussion of can I identify it with a particular siman? There's something on this which I can say makes it known to the world that it belongs to me. There's a particular siman. I don't know. For example, maybe I know exactly how many tissues are in the box. Okay, that would be remarkable. Okay, but I'm a tissue counter. Okay. And the Gemara over there has a discussion and debate whether simanim work or whether simanim do not work. So Tosis over here wonders, well, he doesn't wonder, he's going to have a very strong opinion. Is our discussion over here, right, basically a takeoff of that discussion over there? Meaning when our Gemara says unequivocally, simanim don't work, meaning don't look at the shape of an egg. That doesn't say anything to you. Simanim cannot be a marker to identify what it is. When our Gemara says that, is our Gemara making a generic statement in general about the efficacy of simanim, or maybe only specific to eggs and this particular discussion. But do not globalize the entire discussion. We're having a discussion about simanim in general. So,
is this because it's saying that eight species could be thick at the bottom and tapered at the top?
Let's start now. Now, this is a big Tosfos. We're not going through all of it. This is a Daf Yomi over here. I will point to highlights in this Tosfos. Look at the beginning of the discussion of Tosfos. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Starts off by quoting Rabbeinu Tam. You know every time Tosfos opens up with a Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to be exciting. He's a strong personality. He has strong opinions. Very strong opinions. Right? He was a force. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Dafka simani beitza mishum de'ika de'orev de'damu le'diyona. No. This is not a global discussion about simanim. This is a very limited discussion about simanim of eggs. Only in the world of eggs, simanim don't work, right? You can't look at the shape of an egg and say, oh, it must be kosher. Because in the world of eggs, you do have non-kosher birds, notably the orev. Now, how Rabbeinu Tam knows this is because we're going to see this in the Gemara a little bit later on. The egg of an orev is very similar to the egg of a yonah. So when our Gemara says simanim do not work by eggs, it's just limited to eggs. Aval simani overdagim daraisa yesh lismach aleihem. But let's say, for example, fish eggs. Okay, I'm not a connoisseur. But fish eggs, says Tosfos, that for sure is going to be fine. Kedamer so perikain ma'amidim damer rav kirvei dagin einichem ela min amumcha uparach lamali mumcha lives up with simanim detayim kisimanim beitzim amashani shenim mucha shenim mucha. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah talks about the purchasing of fish eggs from a non-Jew. And the Gemara over there says, you need an expert to sell it to you. And the Gemara says, why do you need an expert? Just look at the egg. And the Gemara says, well, the eggs over there were ground up. They were mashed up eggs. And you'll notice the Gemara in Avodah Zarah over there doesn't talk about, well, you couldn't really tell even if you looked at the egg itself because simon isn't real and simon doesn't work. The Gemara over there doesn't say that. So Rabbeinu Tam says, correct, because simonim do work. It's only by bird eggs where simonim do not work. Okay, now. We're going to drop down. So now, what comes out from our Gemara over here? The conclusion from the Gemara seems to be pretty clear. You are allowed to buy eggs from a non-Jew. You can't look at the egg itself. That's not going to be enough, right? That's what our Gemara says. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam limits that comment of the Gemara to bird eggs. But still, in the world of bird eggs, you can't look at the shape of the egg. The shape of the egg is not enough to identify whether it is or it is not kosher. What do you need? You need the non-Jew who's selling you the egg to say, this particular egg comes from this particular type of bird. Good. We go to the store nowadays. We buy eggs from the store. We don't ask any questions. Right. And so based on the Gemara's conclusion, so how do we do that? So I'm not asking the question now for the first time in the 21st century. Okay. Tosfos asks that very question. Drop down now in Tosfos. I'm going to skip ahead. As the lines get wider, go to the bottom line. Not the bottom of the Tosfos, but you see the mid-range lines? And look, start at the beginning of the mid-range lines, where he asks the following question. It's the first word in the line. We buy eggs from non-Jews. Alpha pisha enam omrim shel ov ploni utahar men. And they don't make any claims as to where the egg is produced from. Anu somchem al rov beitzim shemitsuyim beinenu dershal ofos taharim heim. So here Tosfos invokes the concept of rov. And the concept goes like this. I mean, we're all familiar with the concept of rov. Most of the eggs that are sold in the market are generated by kosher birds. So they don't have to say anything because we're going to rely on the concept of rov. Now, apparently, I mean, Tosfos is really saying a big chiddush. Apparently, the way he's understanding the Gemara, the whole context of the Gemara is a scenario where there wasn't rov operating. Meaning, the Gemara was discussing a scenario where kosher, non-kosher eggs were, you know, more or less you know, as accessible in the same store, and that's why you needed a guy to articulate and say to you, don't worry, this egg comes from a kosher bird. And he tells you which bird it comes from. But says Tosfos, we go to the store nowadays, we don't ask any questions, so Tosfos justifies the practice by saying, we rely on Rove. Okay, now, I'm going to go through a little bit more of this Tosfos. This is such an unbelievably fascinating Tosfos.
In our store, it does say that it's from a chicken. So we're not relying on...
I wonder, Aaron, is... No, in other words, on the box itself, on the carton itself.
What Nehemiah is this public time?
No, but it's the same Nehemiah said the Gemara affords the non-Jew who sells it to you. I wonder if the writing on the carton would be analogous to...
Oh.
To the seller actually saying to you, maybe it is analogous. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to read the next part of Tosfos. Now, follow carefully. This is unbelievable. Because, all right, let's just read without editorializing. Umash anu lochim in aov de kochavim uvlios vi kantias. I don't know what they are, but from the context of Tosfos, they're some sort of pastry, right? They went to the local bakery, and they bought these types of dishes. Shenilosho bebeitzim. Now, they're made with eggs. Okay, there are going to be other issues, obviously. Okay, stay tuned. Afagav dasiri hachalikech mehem beitzim trufos bekaara lo damya. Now, what do we learn in our Gemara today? That you're not allowed to buy scrambled eggs from a guy. Right. Because once they're scrambled on a plate, so there's a gzeira de rabbanon, the rabbinic decree that you're not allowed to buy them. Because maybe it was sold to them by a Jew, and it came from a bird which was a treifa, so you're not allowed to buy scrambled eggs from a guy. So Tosos now wonders, so right, the minug in France and in Germany, circa 12th, 13th century, was to buy these types of breads, cakes, I'd like to know a little bit better what exactly I'm talking about, but some sort of baked goods. And Tosto says, I don't understand. It's got eggs inside, and we said scrambled eggs is a no-no. You can't buy scrambled eggs. So Tosto's defense, and Tosto says, Lo damya da'acha ika reyusa mi dezabin lo'a v'kocham trufos beka'ara. If he sells to you the scrambled eggs straight from the plate, that's they're question marks. There's a reyusa. Shemamina demucha milsa diyisrael machram lefisha ayusha shal treifa. Aval isa shinilu shal bebeitzim. But once the egg is baked into the food, lo chayshinan v'azlin abasa rov beitzim she'enem shal treifos. So Tosfos says, yeah, but once they're baked into the food, now we go back to the concept of rov, and most of the eggs are generated by kosher birds. Right, but yeah, but yes, but Tosfos calls it a reyusa, meaning at that point in time. In other words, I guess the suspicion is now standing against the roof.
So once you bake it into the pastry, so to speak.
Then we lose the reyusa and we go to the roof. Stuart, I'm not totally pleased with my answer to you, because once they were scrambled on a plate, there's now a formal gzeira derabanan. We usually just don't simply remove the gzera de rabbanon.
But the gzera is for direct purchase of that egg. It's not
maybe right. The gzera could be on the purchase, right. Not on the egg. Maybe we could use such lumdus. I mean, we're in the world. We're really in the world of lumdus over here. V'lo chayshin and shema hayabam dam derov beitzim ein behem dam. And don't worry about the blood, because most eggs don't have blood. Now, right? I will tell you as a good guy in life. You should check for blood, meaning whenever you crack an egg, you should check for blood. But Tosfos makes the point, which is obvious, and we all know this. Look, we boil our eggs, right? We're not checking those eggs for blood, right? Right? We eat boiled eggs. We eat hard-boiled eggs. We're not checking for blood over there. And, you know, we're not taking little incremental bites of the egg to see whether... We don't check for blood over there. Meaning, if you can check for blood, good. And if there's a scenario you can't check for blood, that's also fine.
What about a guy, may see that would be too much?
Wait, just one second. One second. Umir Rabbi Natan, I also likech manov de kocham ovulus vikantias. However, Rabbi Natan says, don't do it. Meaning, don't buy these baked good products from the bakery. Okay? Now, I know that kind of is confusing because Tosa says they do. So, right, this obviously was an issue of great controversy because Tosa started the discussion off by saying, we do it, we do buy these baked goods, and then Rabbi Natan says, but I'm telling you not to. So, clearly there was some sort of tension over here in the French-Germany communities in terms of the purchasing of these baked goods. But Rabbi Natan is going to invoke a principle which, the mishum bishule of the kochavim bishalakum, right? They're cooked by a non-Jew. You can't eat food which is cooked by a non-Jew. Now damar biyushama depasnim nu alavi tiru shani hacha. Now afa gav, did I skip a line? No, afa gav damar biyushama depasnim nu alavi tiru. Now this is going to be very interesting. This whole tosis to me is fascinating. It's going to be very interesting because now we move the discussion over to bishalakum. Now, here's your basic rule in life. Bread baked by a non-Jew, although prohibited, ended up becoming permitted. Right? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, not that long ago, we were there in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right? Pas Palter, bread baked by a non-Jew. One of the things which originally was prohibited, and then the ban was lifted. It was a gzeresha, yifshar yechola hamida. The community couldn't handle it. So the bread was permitted. But cooked foods by non-Jew, that was prohibited. So now it's really important to know what we're talking about. I wish we knew a little bit better. But these puff pastries, whatever items they were in the bakery. So Tosus is now going to make the argument, this is not bread. These are considered cooked foods. Tosus makes the argument that this does not fall under the category of bread. This falls under the category of cooked foods, right? It's made with eggs, and therefore it's cooked foods. Now, I know it's popular for most of the bakeries and the Rebbetzin as well, that when they bake bread, they bake bread with eggs. So, in other words, egg challahs, which is what most of us eat. Some of us eat water challahs. The Germans. Germans love it, right? The Yekas love the water challahs. But right, I wonder out loud. Now, in other words, if you may now make bread with eggs, is that not bread in the world of pas versus non-pas? Okay, I'm just wondering out loud. Mitam shakshal yu b'chlal ha-heter d'shteg zeres hayu. Right, and then Tosfos goes on to a discussion which I'm gonna end over here in Tosfos, but just know this. In other words, it's just good information to know. There are two separate zeres that the rabbis presented. Number one is bishul akum, food cooked by non-Jew, and pas akum, and they're not the same gzera. And Tosfos over here argues Tosfos the same Tosfos in Avodah Zarah as well. Bishul akum is an old gzera, right? He doesn't give it a timeline, but well before Hillel and Shammai, it's an old gzera. Tosfos makes the argument. I'm just paraphrasing right now. One of the reasons why he knows that is because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah had a Havamina, the Bishul Akum is a Din Daraisa. The Gemara rejects it, but you know it's old if the Gemara thought that it was a Din Daraisa. Pas Akum, right, bread baked by non-Jew, that is a contemporary Gzera. Now when I say contemporary, I mean Hillel Shammai, but in other words, that came in the middle of the Second Temple. And that it was they tried to ban the bread, and then they ended up not banning it. But that there were two different gzeras. And Rabbi Natan makes the argument that these baked goods from the bakery, because they put eggs in it, doesn't fall under the category of pas akum. It falls under the category of bishul akum. Okay. There's just a lot to think about in this Tosfos. Okay. Let's do a little bit more Gemara for today, and we will finish for the day. So the Gemara says, we're back to the Gemara. Good. Ella, back in the right in the middle of the Amud. So the Gemara says this is what we mean in terms of identifying the shape of eggs. Look, If the egg is symmetrical, cylindrical, if it's round, if it's long, but it's symmetrical, at that point in time, you know for sure it's not good. However, Resha Chad Kad, V'chalma Mechutz V'chalma Mifneim, V'amal Chashel Ploni Taru, Smoch Aleihem. If it's got the right shape, right, egg shape, what else do I need to say? And the seller says to you, comes from a kosher bird, you got both of those points working for you, so then it's good. So then, B'stam Alotis Smoch Aleihem De'ika, I'm sorry, V'amal Chashel Ploni V'taru Smoch Aleihem. Bistama, but if all you have is just a shape, lotus mochalam, the ikadorva, the damali diona. Because it happens to be that the raven egg is similar to the dove egg. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to pause over here. I know we're a little bit behind. This almond base is short. Well, tomorrow I'll make a strong attempt to catch up to where we should be. Okay, but a good discussion today. Finishing up the discussion about birds in general, kosher versus not kosher. And then we moved on to the egg discussion. Interestingly enough, the fish eggs, that's an easy discussion to have. The shape of the egg is really all you need. Bird eggs, slightly more complicated discussion, because the Gemara advances that there is a particular shape to a kosher egg, but then the Gemara also points out that there are non-kosher birds that are similar in shape, and so therefore you need two things. You need the shape, the correct shape, and you need him to tell you that it in fact comes from a kosher bird, and you need it to identify exactly which kosher bird it actually comes from.